Welcome to the Faily Tale Show. I'm your host and curator of fails, Akash Manthar. In this show, we have conversations with our very accomplished guests about their tales of fails. Let's jump right in and start learning from the collective failures of humanity, because it's story time. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Faily Tale Show. Joining us today is our guest, Akshata Shetty. She is currently the vice president at MUFG and is someone I've known for 20 plus years. Akshata has extensive experience in banking, consulting, technology, leading company-wide initiatives such as mergers and acquisitions, transformations, strategic planning, and restructuring for senior execs. She has been an early stage investor and advisor for startups for 6 plus years. And she's also the co-founder of Makers Bar, which is a community of founders, mentors, and investors. That's a pretty impressive resume, Akshata. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Akash, for having me. I'm super excited to talk today.
Yeah, no, it's great. So let's jump right in. What interesting failure and lessons learned do you have for us today?
Akash, I believe that the biggest learnings that you have is from your failures. Like, what people show publicly is very different from what people have inside, right? I moved to this country when I was 21. I knew nobody. I came here for my master's. So I've lived here for 17 plus years. And at this point, I've had my share of ups and downs throughout my life. And, it was not easy, you know, moving to a different country where you know no one. But I think my biggest lessons I learned when I decided to start my own fund a few years ago. And I was looking for partners. Finding a partner was just so difficult, who has done this and who wants to do this with you. So that was one of my biggest, my biggest learning. And then my second biggest learning was, you know, not having a public profile. You know, that was, I'm an introvert by default. I don't like to say, even if I bought a, you know, I have never bought a fancy car, but even if I bought a fancy car, I would never put that out on social media. And so I don't like attention. And then throughout my career, I have always bent my head down and worked on things that I wanted to work on. And it has served me well. It is not served me well or something like that. But when I started the fund, I realized nobody knew me, like literally nobody knew me. And I felt like people need to know me. Other than my four bosses, nobody knew what I had worked on, what I had done in my career, what I was capable of, what my knowledge was. And I felt like it was very important that people knew me, and it really serves you well in your career. A lot of us, you know, we work for a big corporation. We sit there, we spend our, you know, life's energy into the big corporation, but we forget that we have to build something for ourselves outside of that big corporation as well, so that people know who you are. So that I felt like was my biggest learning from my failure of trying to start my hedge fund.
Okay, so you're trying to start a hedge fund.
Yeah.
And then how did this lack of public profile come and affect you? Like what happened? Yeah.
So I remember, like, I would talk to investors and they would be like, who are you? You know, we don't know who you are. And I remember when I was trying to even find partners, I work for a Japanese firm, and nobody knew like MUFG in the US that much. And they'd be like, oh, we have never heard anything about you. And I'm like, yeah, that is by design. I don't have much of a social profile or anything of that sort. And then I realized, oh my God, this is hampering me. I can't find partners. I can't find investors. Investors are looking at me and saying, okay, yeah, she's got some credentials, but we don't know if she can do anything or she can deliver anything. So I feel like, you know, women also tend to not speak loudly, about themselves. And that's just who we are by nature. We're not taught to do that. We're not taught to network. We're not taught to go play golf. And at least my generation, I don't know, future generations, hopefully women will do this. And I felt like there was a lack in general in terms of my own personality. And I felt like I needed to work on that. I needed to get out there and do it in a fashion where it's not very flashy, but at the same time, it's systematic. And that was like, I felt like if you did have something out there, some content about yourself out there, it really helps you in a lot of things. Like people know you, people know who you are, what you stand for. They watch you over a period of whatever, X number of years, and they say, okay, I know Akshita, or I know Akash, they have done so and so, they're good people. We can put some money and it's okay if they fail, kind of a thing. You know what I mean? So that was not there. And I had spent a huge part of my career not having that. And I felt like that, I feel every person who starts their career, they need to have a loud voice. I was taught not to have a loud voice. And now I would say I'm unlearning that myself every day.
So how did you go about building the brand of Akshita?
I would say it's still a work in progress. It's still a work in progress. When COVID hit, I was twiddling my fingers like everybody else at home, not stepping outside my house. And it was very accidental how I did it. It was not by with any thought process or anything of that sort. I spoke to a lot of PR consultants and all kinds of people. And I felt like, probably it's best that I'm only responsible for what I put about myself out there. And that was like my thought process to begin with. And then, Makers Bar started as a podcast. In fact, it's still a podcast. And we basically were trying to interview founders. And it was not with the intention of any kind of PR or anything of that sort. What it taught me was that for the first time, like people walk up to me and they say, Akshita, I really like the founder that you featured. And what it taught me was that, frankly, I had that network already. It was not like I didn't have that network. I went to some good schools and things like that. But for the first time, people were seeing that I had that network. And that I felt like was very interesting because perception kind of matters a lot. Like when you're building your profile, right? And I was like, when I would think about it and be like, I already know these people that I'm interviewing in some form or the other, or they are within like a single click or a double click of my network. But it was not rocket science for me. But for people who are looking at it, they're like, oh, we never knew you had these things. And I'm like, well, I've been telling for a few years, I do have this network if I want to tap into it. I was just not tapping into it and projecting it publicly. That's pretty much it. So it is important. I personally feel it's very important to publicly project who you are and what you stand for. If you don't, and you have to do it in a very systematic fashion, if you don't, that will not serve you well in your career, especially if you have a business career. I feel like it's important. And it works for some people. I've seen people who've had long, institutional career. I mean, institution can be any form, not just banking or anything, who've had long institutional career. And they come to their peak of their career. And then, institutions are institutions. They will, one day they like you and the next day they do not like you. And then you come out of this institution and you're a nobody. So it's important that you should not be a nobody. You should be a somebody even when you come out of this institution. It's very, very important. And I've seen that happen to many executives in my career.
Yeah, we don't end up diversifying our time or network enough. And we associate our identity with just one thing.
I
keep telling people pretty often is, even if you win the rat race, you're still a rat.
Yeah.
So maybe be a rat in a rat race, maybe be a horse in a horse race, do whatever, right? So you have multi-identity, not just tied to one thing.
Yeah.
It's very interesting, Akshita.
And a good friend of mine wrote this whole article about shedding your identity. In fact, he was a banker himself in JP Morgan Chase. And he wrote this whole article on LinkedIn and he said how you need to shed your identity, right? He got out of this whole banking and then he went into a startup which got acquired and things like that. And I thought that was very interesting, because even for me, like, it is very difficult to shed my identity in a bigger way. But it is important to have dual identities, because if you don't, then you come out of this big organization and then you are a nobody. And successful people who have been uniformly successful throughout their lives have had multiple identities. They've had an identity within an organization and they've had an identity outside as well. So that's kind of, and which we're not taught to do it. And even organizations make sure that we don't do that in some fashion.
So what would you give as an advice to somebody who's trying to like reinvent themselves or build up this identity? Like, where do they start?
I would first start in figuring out who you are, what you stand for, right? I think that's what it all starts with. The question of who am I, right? And if you're able to figure out who you are, then the rest just falls in place. If you don't know who you are, then you manifest things which are not necessarily you. And that is very important for a person to understand as to who they are and what they stand for. So for me, like I've always stood for three things: finance, operations, and money management. And I really loved what I did in terms of these careers, and I've always stood for that. I've not tried and said, "Hey, I want to become this or I want to become that." I'm very good at these three things, and I like to stand for these three things. And rest, everything that manifests around it is manifesting.
Yeah, I also saw that on your website, which is Akshata R. Shetty, for anyone who's listening. You do have a lot of articles and blog posts, which I think is immensely useful, because a lot of times people think, I don't have anything valuable to share because there are people who are bigger experts in the area than I am. What I found always valuable was, what can Akash 5 years ago learn from the Akash today? And I would write it for the Akash 5 years ago. And there's so many people in those shoes. So when I read your articles, I was like, this is awesome. This is great that you're like paying it forward. You're sharing it for people who are coming along in the journey that you have just recently taken.
Yeah. And I always believe another thing is that you have to give back to your community and your people. I mean, obviously, all of us have to be conservative of our time that we have. In fact, I have very little time personally. But at the same time, it's important to help people along the way. And whenever I've done that, I've gotten 1,000-folds in return in some form or the other. It might not be with that person, but it might be that the person has connected me to someone else and then something else happened and it has returned 1,000-folds.
Very interesting. So whatever happened to the fund that you were trying to raise? So you had this issue with Public Profile and everything. Did that happen? Did that not happen?
So when COVID hit, right, I had to ask myself, like, do I really want to do this? Because, a lot of people were, we didn't know what was happening. We had lockdowns and all kinds of things. And money management is something you should only do, I truly believe, when you're comfortable with it. You should not do it if you're not comfortable with it. At that point in time, I didn't feel I was in a comfortable place to do it, because I don't know. We had no vaccination. I don't know who would be, alive or dead. I have older parents, and I just didn't feel like submitting myself or committing myself to a money management career for like a 10-year. And then I said, to my partner, let's not raise right now and let's wait it out till we get a vaccination and everything. And then let's revisit it. But then while I was doing that, other things all kicked in, and maybe life had different plans for me, kind of a thing. So that was my primary reason to stop, was COVID hitting. But, it just worked out in different ways. So
do you have any other insights to share with us, Akshata?
Any other insights? I would say every person who's starting their career should think about what they stand for and what they would stand for in the next 10 or 20 years. And they should start building accordingly. And I did this very late in my career. And I want others to not do it late in their career.
So how does one go about it? Like on LinkedIn or YouTube? writing about things? What
I
do you do?
I think at the very, very beginning, you should probably build network around what you want to achieve in your life. That is kind of very important. Because if you have network, everything falls in place. And then you should have integrity. It's very important to have integrity because people will remember if you don't have integrity. They'll remember for the rest of eternity. And I see a lot of people who basically come in and go because they want to make money in a span of 5 years or 10 years or whatever. And people remember if you are a person like that. I think build genuine network with some integrity. That will go a long, long way. And most importantly, figure out who you are, because it took me a long time to figure out who I was. Really long time. And I have no shame about accepting this. It took me a very long time to figure out who I was. I don't know, Akash, since you know me, just for the listeners, I started my career as an engineer as well. And then I went and did my MBA. And then I figured, I tried to do my MBA for marketing. And then I said, I'm not a marketing person. Although I do think I do a pretty decent job with trying to understand branding. And then I figured, like, I love M&A and finance is what I like. And I gravitated towards that. So it was not planned. It was just what happened. And I think I didn't have enough counsel. One of the other things that changed for me is having good mentors. I had two mentors in my life who basically took a lot of interest in me and taught me whatever I know in business today. And if those two men had not taught me what I know today, I would not be this person. And I don't know how to give it back to them. I have no idea how to give it back to them. I try, but it's not possible to give it back to them. But I would say that you do need to find, and even if this person is 10, 20 years older than you, it's okay. It's fine. Because you learn a lot from a person who is at least 10 years older than you because they have done it and they've been there. And they'll be able to give advice. And they should understand you. It's important that they understand you personally, who you are. Otherwise, and you build a personal relationship with them, I would say. Like, I know, like, a lot of people seek out mentors at work and all that stuff. But always a mentor might not be personally invested in you. So it's important for the mentor to be personally invested in you for whatever reasons. They want you to succeed. They think they can get something back or whatever reasons. This person has to be personally invested in you. And that's when you can go back and forth. And I was fortunate to meet these two people. But not everybody is that fortunate. And they, both of them, I would say, changed my life, shaped it the way it is, and said and called me out whenever I had to be called out. So that's important.
Yeah. No, I think it's very important to have really good mentors. The other thing I think it's very important is to be consistent. And not just go after instant gratification, because there isn't a single thing your mentor is going to tell you or a single article that you put out, which will just suddenly make your network 10x. You have to be consistent. You have to be at it. It is a marathon and not a sprint. So don't get disheartened.
Very true. It's a marathon, not a sprint. I agree.
I mean, there are a lot of people who come to me and they're like, oh, I did X, Y, and Z, but the stuff didn't happen. Well, yeah. It takes time. And you just have to be consistent and you have to be in it to improve yourself and better yourself, which is why I really like what you were saying is like you understand who you are and what you want and what you stand for, because then all the effort that you're doing is for self-improvement while also adding value to the world. It helps with those days when things are not going really well. It helps you power through.
And most days things will not go very well. It's just that people don't tell you publicly. That's all.
Awesomeness. Well, this is really great advice. Thank you so much for your time, Akshata. I think this was really cool stuff.
Yeah, and I hope people learn with my failures.
Any final words that you want to tell the listeners?
Any final words? I would also use, I will steal your line. Life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. I would say that. And it's okay to be at it. And you have to work at it at a universal way, your personal and professional life. And you should make good friends, good social friends as well. And so that they are your support and they don't know anything about what you do in business. That's great. Actually, it works out very, very well for you. And you have them because you want to talk about, you know, some random things. And it's good to have those friends as well. It's important to keep them.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much, Akshata. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Fail-E-Tale Show. Until next time, keep learning.